Thank you for listening to the psychedelicparenting.org podcast. This is our very first recording. Very excited to be doing this. And with me today, I have Mark. It's not his real name, but Mark is here. Him and I have known each other for about a year now, and both of us are fathers, and we've had some very interesting conversations around parenting, around sacred medicines. And so I just want to say, hi, Mark, how's it going?
It's going great today. Thanks for having me on.
Cool, no problem. I'm really excited. You know, you and I have known each other for about a year now, I guess. And the first time that we met, you made a big impression on me with something you said. You were discussing a charity event you went to called Challenge Day, right? And the thing that that really stuck out for me when you were talking about why don't you tell that story?
Right. Well, Challenge Day is a group, and their mission is to go into schools, primarily high schools and middle schools. And what they do is they put on a 1-day event where they really empower the children there to open up, to share, you know, what is really going on for them. So often in schools and in our life, people go through the life wearing masks and never really taking them off. So their mission is to really allow people to go through and do exercises, to drop their masks and to get real, and then to connect with other human beings. And as a way to eliminate some of the stereotyping and bullying that goes on within schools. So I've done a number of volunteer activities with them. And I think I was mentioning to you that I've done a number of different personal growth workshops throughout my life, and volunteering for Challenge Day, that 1-day event, you know, I've come out of those events thinking, wow, I've spent a good $1,000 on workshops to feel this way. So it's that powerful and that that connected to my heart doing those activities. So it was really sweet.
Cool. That sounds great. So we'll definitely leave a link to that, their website, on our blog, and maybe people can get connected with them because it sounds like really great work.
Yes. Highly recommend it.
Cool. So then one of the main values for our psychedelic parenting blog, one of the top five values that we've developed, is called radical honesty. And I think, you know, based on the conversations you and I have had in the past, that this is something that's really important to me personally. It really rings true with what you were saying regarding like taking away masks and being more real and honest with other people in the world, honest with ourselves, and really importantly, honest with our kids about who we are as human beings, about and as dads and fathers and husbands. This next question is why I was really excited to have you on here as my first podcast guest. You recently got back from a trip to Joe Tafer's place in Peru, didn't you?
I did. It was last October of 2014.
Yeah. And when we were last together, you shared some pretty powerful experiences around the issues of radical honesty and family healing. Why don't you tell me about that?
Sure. And I think before we start, one thing that I wanted to mention, and you know, with our connection, and I believe the first time that we were the first time that we had met, I believe we were talking a little bit about raising kids, and you had mentioned how you were working, how you had your son and you were talking with him about what you were doing in terms of ceremonies and stuff. And that's so resonated with me that after that event, I'd been telling my kids and everybody, you know, in my family that I was just going to parties when I was doing right. ceremonies. And so after that, after our talk, I went home and I shared with them. I said, yeah, I've been doing some sacred medicine and sacred plant work. And, you know, similarly to what you were mentioning, that, you know, you just mention it and sometimes your kids will latch onto it and sometimes they won't. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. My kids just were like, okay, great, Dad. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. And then didn't even bat an eye.
That's funny.
So I appreciate that. And yeah, going to Peru was, well, first of all, it was a two-week journey. Mm-hmm. And I think the starting point for radical honesty for me was a conversation I had with myself. Mm-hmm. And the conversation was around asking myself a question: what would I do if money were no object? And so coming to from the point of, just come from my heart, what's real for me? What really strikes a chord in myself? And of course I wrote down three or four things that sounded wonderful, and one of them was going to Peru, the other one was traveling the world, I think another one was some other thing, and I wrote them down. I said, wow, that's awesome. And maybe an hour later, I all of a sudden it dawned on me, it's like, well, I could go to Peru now. I mean, that's nuts. That's not, I have money in the bank, I have time, I could take off work, and all of a sudden it was, right in my wheelhouse. And so I went to bed and I thought, okay, wonderful, that's great. And I woke up the next day, and of course I thought it was the worst idea that I'd ever had on the
Oh,
planet.
that's funny.
And so there is that piece of radical honesty, though, that it came to me and it was clear as a bell. And then there's also that other part of me that's lurking in the background that doesn't really want to go there because it's a very scary and outside of my comfort zone place. So that was my first experience with just radical honesty, focusing it on myself. And then going to Peru was, I didn't know anybody there. I trusted our mutual friend who we sit in ceremony with just to make recommendations. And he said, go and see Joe. And I said, all right, I'm going. So I just trusted and went. And for 2 weeks, they did four ceremonies a week. And I had many experiences where there were, it's hard to put them in words because it is such a deep experience. And I had some very core fundamental realizations about who I was as a human being, what it was that I was doing on the planet. And I came to a place. I had been divorced for probably 2.5 years at that point. And not, I mean, very cordial. There was a very amicable split. We share custody. There was no fighting, no argument really about the process. And yet being in Peru, it really brought home a lot of realizations about how I approached the relationship and what my responsibility was in terms of how it ended, and taking a good hard look at myself. So recognizing that I wanted to do come back and create a different dialogue with my with the mother of my children, and not so much to connect on a, we have to get back together as a relationship. It was more of I wanted to share a gift because, she's, I mean, just to humanity and focusing on her and really sharing something that I got a lot of value of from being there. And so, I think in terms of radical honesty, when I do this work with the medicine, it just strips away so much stuff, and there's just so much things just fall by the wayside, and
Right,
what's
I hear you.
true and what resonates for me is as authentic comes to the surface.
Yeah.
So, a lot of experiences like that.
That just getting really to the core of what's important to us, and to be able to step into any conversation that we're having with who we are, and like face forward and saying, this is my truth. And I find that it's been an amazing journey of really getting to know people better, like especially people in my own family. When I'm super honest with them, say, this is who I am, and I kind of like to know who you are. And it's been transformative, definitely.
Yeah, it's so refreshing. It is so refreshing, and it's so exciting to drop the mask. There's so much playfulness in other human beings and so much just innocence, and it's just creates such a deep bond. I mean, the people that I met in Peru, we It one of my most cherished memories is after the ceremony closed was to go over, and there was a couple there. They just met, and they were falling in love, and I walked by them. I think on the second night I was there, and I said, "Hey, is this a puppy pile here? And can I come in if I, can we chew on each other's feet?" Just made a joke or something about it. And from then on, from every single night after ceremonies, we would go and just lay down and just come from our hearts and just talk about these beautiful experiences and just this who we were as human beings. And I for the rest of my life, I will always hold that so dear and so close to my heart, and just that realization of those type of connections when they're made, they're there. They just it's not going anywhere. So Peru was a magical experience. I plan on going back. I definitely see so much value in that. And one of the places with radical honesty was coming back too, was I shared with my children. I had them the week when I came back, and I sat down and I told them exactly where I went. I shared some of the funny stories of some people who, had some challenging. They had some interesting experiences on the medicine. And so I shared, some of those things with them. I shared some of my insights, and it was really interesting because I have at that point in time, my son was 13, my middle daughter was 11, and my youngest daughter was 10. And my youngest daughter had just completed the DARE program at school. So in opening up and sharing about the medicine and working with it, what the conversation veered towards was legality. We had a very interesting discussion about what's legal, why is it legal, or why is it illegal? And so we had a really fabulous heart-to-heart connection about these things. And really, we just started to realize, hey, there's so much gray area here. For instance, why have people been doing this for thousands of years on the planet and continue to do it in many places around the world where it's perfectly legal, but yet in and why is it that, our body produces the same substance, yet in America it's considered not legal? And so we had a really sweet discussion around that and what it was, and my children, "Wait, can we come? We come?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I said probably if you were living in the Amazon, you may have already done it by now." And I said, "Absolutely. At the time, if you feel it's right and it speaks to your heart, I wholeheartedly will support you in that journey." And what I realized after I got done with that conversation was it really dawned on me. It's like, it felt a little bit like Pandora's box got opened. And I recognized that I didn't talk with their mother before.
Before you decide to have this cataclysmic conversations moment of radical honesty, well, I better talk to their mom first.
My discretion was a little bit off. Well, it was what it was, and so I went upstairs and I immediately called her, and she was not pleased. She was not pleased at all. The conversation went very much towards you're opening it up that they can do everything and anything, and you're condoning, this, and they could get hurt and really damaged. And I said, she was right. She was right. And some, I understood what she was saying. And I did have another conversation with them and just talking about, that there's a whole world of filled with different substances out there. And it's not just, like a candy store where you can pick and choose and, oh, everything will be fine. It's, the substances that I was specifically talking about had been used for thousands of years, and there's a rich history in how protocol and using them. So that's what I was talking about. So, it was a really good discussion with her, and I'm glad that I did that, because I think one of the things that occurred from that as well was because it opened the door for me to say to her, well, here's what I've been doing. I highly recommend this to you, and if you so choose to come, I would be more than happy to, support you and be there with you if you felt it was something that you would want. And I have the connection, so I opened the door for her to step through and make a decision on that.
Wow. And what was her decision?
She decided that she wanted to come, and we did a couple of ceremonies right before the solstice, and we did them together. And she it was so amazing. I mean, the amount of work that we did in that space together, and what we were able to clear, and some of the things that we had both been holding on to in the relationship. I got a chance to really apologize, and for some of the things that I had said that were very hurtful, that she had really held as very hurtful and wounded. And I had a wonderful opportunity just to from my heart say, I'm so sorry, I never meant to hurt you in that way. And so much integration for us. And she, I said, so, overall, how was it? And she said, it was a Christmas miracle.
That's beautiful, man.
Christmas
That
miracle.
is beautiful.
So, yeah. And, she was, she had started dating someone else, so it was such a gut punch for me, and it really allowed me to start, even after 2.5 years of feeling the grief, which is something that I had held away from myself for quite a long time. So it opened up that well of sadness, and to allow that to come forward, and to allow me to integrate that, and to so yeah, it's, I mean, and it continues to this day, and for her as well. So
Wow. That's an amazing story. I have a quote from Dennis McKenna, who in a recent conversation that he and I had, and I think that it really resonates with what we're talking about. He said, "Those of us who know and appreciate plant medicines know that the family that trips together has a better chance of staying together. So much of the social dysfunction that we have in society stems from dysfunctional families. If they were able to share these medicines in a meaningful way, it would go a long way towards reducing family violence and making us a less violent, more compassionate society."
yeah, wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I think that I was reading something the other day about Ram Dass, and he was saying the point of relationships, at a point of relationships, we hold back. We hold back because the ugliness or whatever that we view in ourselves, I'll talk about myself, the ugliness that I view in myself sometimes feels like I can't share that with anybody. I can't tell this person about it. On some level, they're not going to want to be with me anymore. They're going to think I'm weird. I'm, whatever's going on in me. There's some level that I hold back, and I think from using these substances, it opens that window to begin to look at a different perspective about whatever it is I'm withholding, and creates a space where those can be shared, and it's totally in it, not totally, but a much more objective space where it's just, okay, I'm just sharing this about myself. This is a radically honest, and this is where I'm at. And then it's no, there's no charge to it. It's just, here it is. And then I let it out, and it's like, okay, whew. And then, so I don't have to carry that around and then try and hide from my partner and then do other weird things and create other dysfunctions from that.
I've found that the more that I keep the vision of radical honesty at the forefront of what I'm doing, the longer that the sort of afterglow or the benefits of having a ceremony last, I've found. I mean, it just feels like you're in this flow of this is like when you're in the spirit, when you're in the spirit in a ceremony and sort of under the influence of the medicine, it just feels like everything is possible, at all potential, everything is good, and you can, like, sort of, I do anyways, I sort of project myself into the future and I imagine having particular conversations with people, and it goes so well. And then, you know, you're the next morning, you're sitting around in breakfast, and you're like, maybe I shouldn't have that conversation. Maybe it won't go as well as I had envisioned it, right?
Yep, I hear you.
But you know, when I keep that idea of radical honesty at the forefront, I find that the conversations, like, do go as well as I had planned, or even when they don't go the way that I planned, they seem to, like, result in something positive, or at least something more honest.
Yeah.
And it just feels like when I'm in those spaces, I can just feel the energy of the medicine flowing. And, you know, I've been in those conversations and watching people who I love, you know, crying as truth is revealed, and it's like tears of joy. And, you know, this one person in particular said, I can feel the medicine flowing through you and through me right now. And this person, yeah, you know, had been, you know, months since their last ceremony, and just said, I can just feel it just mm-hmm. by the force of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I noticed that effect too for myself, where there is the feeling of, in a ceremony, yes, this is absolutely right, this is what I should do. And then afterwards, that feeling of, should I do this?
Yeah, you doubt yourself.
And, you know, I think about Father's Day. Oh, what am I going to do on Father's Day? I'm supposed to, you know, traditionally, get a gift. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. It's like, wow. During the ceremony, it's like, when do I feel really good? It's like when I give a gift, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm of service. Mm-hmm. And so my kid's mom was coming back from a trip from Florida, and she was arriving on that Monday. Mm-hmm. So I texted her and I said, would you do me the honor of picking you up from the airport on Monday mm-hmm. morning? And she says, wow, yeah, that would be great. So I had two of my children and she had the other one. Mm-hmm. And I picked her up and I was going on the way to work. And what I had realized in the ceremony was how much I really honored her as a human being and what she brought to the table in terms of a relationship. And mm-hmm. and I wanted to honor her for that. And I wanted her to let her know that I was on her side. Mm. And that I wished her the best. Mm-hmm. And so what I had thought through the ceremony was, okay, well, I'll create this little mini ceremony where we share this and do a hand on heart process. And so she had a van, and I grabbed the van, and before I went into work, we were in this little parking lot, and I said, okay. And all the kids were in the car too. And so I turned to her in the front seat and I said, so I wanted just to do a little bit of, sharing. And I said, may I put my hand on her heart? And she said, yes. So I put my hand on her heart and I said, I just want you to know, I mean, these aren't the paraphrase, but I just want you to know that I wish you all the best on your journey. I send you many, many blessings. Mm. And I cherish you as a human being. I wish you so much abundance and joy in your life, you know, as you move forward here. Mm-hmm. But just that type of, so that radical honesty of, that's the truth, you know, that's what I want for every human being. Mm-hmm. And especially her, in a sense that, you know, if she's happy and she's enjoying her life, she's going to be a much better mother, in my belief, mm-hmm. to the kids. And so I also wanted the children to see their two role models for, you know, adults, mm-hmm. and how two adults can, even though they don't have the sticker of marriage on their relationship, they can still connect as human beings and you know, be on each other's side and be mm-hmm. in a partnership together.
Cool.
Yeah, and so my kids were, in the back and they're crying, and it was really such a sweet, they could feel it, like they could just feel the heart centeredness of that. And
Wow,
then,
that's awesome.
yeah, and then my, and then she reciprocated and put her hand on my heart and said, things that she wished for me. And so we had this really sweet little connection, and my belief is that it'll be something that'll resonate for them, going forward throughout their lives. And I really think that as a parent, like that's the type of events that I, those little magical teaching moments when
Yeah.
it's, so much stuff gets locked into my head, usually in the back of, growing up when there was violence or people yelling and that. But there's also that other side when there's those really powerfully emotionally heart-centered connections that, resonate throughout the life. And that's really what I'm focused on creating
That's beautiful.
more of.
That is beautiful. Thank you for telling that story.
Sure.
So the other pieces of psychedelic family values are, and you spoke to many of these things in your conversation here. We talk about spiritual growth and openness, and creating a place where there's a recognition of the sacred and a sort of understanding that magic is real, but like an openness, like exposing our kids to as many other concepts of religion and spirituality and what's the name of God, and giving them, letting them know like what's true, but not like, but letting them make their own decisions about the divine. Because anytime I feel that when we put God in a box, like we immediately create an idol, because it's not really, our minds can't really completely encapsulate the sort of the infinite. And anytime we sort of try to build a box around God, then we've immediately created something that really isn't God.
Yeah, it's just language, right, is so
Yeah.
inadequate. It just points at a thing that's indescribable.
Right.
And my background is I'm not very I wasn't raised going to church. And I felt lost growing up, and then I gravitated more and more to Buddhism, but not from the secular perspective, just more from the practical, the practical aspect of just sitting
Yeah.
and realizing the benefits of watching my mind and just being very learning how to allow emotions to come up and become non-attached to them. And in the Buddhist tradition, talk about karma and reincarnation and things of that nature. So I can remember, and my wife at the time, we were very much in terms of our spirituality, and still are, focused on the simple basic fact that we're energy, right? And as energy follows the basic law. Energy can't be created and can't be destroyed. It just can change form. So, and I'm sharing this with you because, it kind of fits in with what you're talking about God and how I approached it one time with my son. We were, my wife at the time, her father passed, and I think my son at the time, he was probably 7. He may have been 6. So we, we're talking about, death, and we're talking about the fact that, he's left his body now. We didn't talk about where he went. We just said he's left his body. And I mentioned the fact that some people believe that, he will be reincarnated and what have you. And just a belief, not that it was true or not, just sharing a perspective. And so maybe about 2 years later, we're just out on a walk. We're just out on a walk around the neighborhood, and my son turns to me all of a sudden at one point, and he says, "So, do you think Papa Buck is back yet?" And so I just out of nowhere, I mean, we weren't talking, I think we were talking about baseball or something, and all of a sudden this comes, and I was like, "Phew." So at first I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Papa Buck, right? He turned into energy, and then he said he might come back." I was like, "Whoa, okay." All right, here we go. Strap it on. And and so then all of a sudden it dawned on me. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. So I turned it back to him. I said, well, what do you think? And he said, I don't know. And then I looked at him and I was like, I don't know either. And then he asked another question, which was just for me so mind-bogglingly sweet. He said, so when he comes, if he comes back, do you think he'll remember us? Right? So that concept of, consciousness, does it hold the memory pattern? And does it, oh, it's so sweet. And I said to him, I said, so I don't know, what do you think? He's like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know either. And then so we just walked like a little bit longer. And then all of a sudden, like this, so then like we're both in the same place, right? I'm not knowing. And I turned to him and I said, you know what? You and me and the other 6 billion people on this planet are in the same spot. You know what I mean? So that moment of just like as a parent to not like have to know anything, especially about that, right? And put any beliefs in, and just really being able to sink into this not knowing place and that mystery of it all. So, so that's kind of like how I approach religion. It's just, I don't, religion is just a manifest, it's just a human manifestation of it. I go much more for the spirituality and the mystery and the magic and what you were talking about before, just the magic is here. Where
Magic is
magic is
real.
that I'm breathing
Yeah,
right
right.
now.
Exactly. Definitely, man. So we also talk about, like, as we discuss conscious living, and being aware of diversity and aware of the environment and, like, just being good stewards of the things, the gifts around us, the miracles that we live through every single day and don't really pay attention to. We talked about, and this is, we talked about something called infinite curiosity. So, like, you were talking about having this conversation with your son, and then you kind of using, like, the Socratic method and asking him questions back. What do you think about it? And, please, like, explain to me what you believe. And always, one of the things that Alex and Allison Gray have written a lot about parenting, and one of the things that they really stress is that when a child asks you a question, you always answer it with truth, and you give them as much information as they ask for, and that's all you give them, and that allows them to lead the conversation about, how much do they really understand? How much do they want to know? Where are they at? And it can teach you when to teach them about the next step or the next level of something,
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of me presuming.
Right.
Good
Yeah.
point.
And then radical honesty and something that we're calling authentic expression. So giving, would be willing to have questions be asked and then give the child the space to be the person that they are and set an example as someone who lives genuinely and expresses myself genuinely and to just create a space where nothing that they do can be, anything but a growing experience. Yeah. Just encourage them to follow their interests and their hearts and, follow themselves to the next question, because that's all they really have, right? Just keep probing it, keep asking questions.
Right, and it's pretty presumptive of me if I think that I know. So that's a lot about what I'm asking them is from that point of view. It's like, well, what are you interested in? What's speaking to you now? What are you learning? And then really understanding, about how a lot of the structures within our world are, just that. They're just structures. There's no reality to them. There's just they've been brought up this way, like school. I talk to them about school a lot, and the fact that There are certain things that they're learning there, and yet there are so many other intelligences that aren't even addressed or touched or, sometimes even frowned upon in school. And I am really cognizant of opening up their view, opening up the discussion around, look, you have so many talents, you're so gifted in so many ways, right? And just because you don't do this particularly well, and this is what school is measuring you on, there's this whole other world of who you are. And so, refocusing and asking them questions about, hey, what's going on over here? So navigating in that way to where their interests are and what they're passionate about.
Indeed. I would like to say that this has been an amazing conversation, as every conversation is with you. It's just been a really wonderful 45 minutes or so, and I really appreciate you sharing with me, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. Well, thank you. I feel so honored that you asked me to come on and share and be a part of this. And I think it's a wonderful gift that you're giving back to the planet to open up this type of discussion so other people can jump in if they choose to and hear a different message, listen to a different perspective. So thank you for putting that energy out there to
No
the
problem, man.
world.
I hope that we can continue to sort of expand what we're doing. I'm really interested in getting an anonymous forum built into the website's functionality so that more people can be involved, feel comfortable being involved in the conversation. So that's kind of the next step of all this. So I look for that very soon. It's been wonderful talking to you, my friend. And so for psychedelicparenting.org, we are signing off.
Good night.